The chaos on the ground in Syria is more and more being matched by the chaos in the air over the country. U.S. combat missions against Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. There are Russian airstrikes against opposition forces, French and NATO planes, surveillance drones, what's left of commercial air traffic, and now Turkey poised to strike ISIS or PKK Kurdish terrorist targets in retaliation for the Ankara bombing. The U.S. has accused Russia of running a fundamentally flawed campaign. Syrian rebels and Western governments say Russia has mainly been hitting non-ISIS targets. Former National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley.
Does it look weak to you, what Putin is doing in Syria? Putin says he's coming in to fight ISIS. In fact, what he's doing is bombing those opposition members we have supported. At the same time, they are being attacked by ISIS. So they're fighting a two-front war. And what is our policy? Our policy is to limit the amount of military assistance we provide to them and tell them they cannot attack Assad. This is lunacy.
That's Stephen Hadley speaking on Fox News Sunday. David Deptula is a retired U.S. Air Force lieutenant general, principal attack planner for the Desert Storm Coalition air campaign in 1991, now dean at the Mitchell Institute of Aerospace Studies. General, how close do you think we are to actual air-to-air combat between U.S. and Russian planes right now over Syria?
Well, actually, John, I tell you, I think that's a very remote possibility. There are a variety of different nations and organizations conducting air operations, but you're talking about an area approximately 90,000 square miles. Quite frankly, there are not a lot of U.S. coalition-led missions over Syria on any one given day. Less than 2 weeks ago, our Secretary of State announced at the UN that the U.S.-led coalition over the last year has averaged only about 8 strike sorties or missions a day in Syria. So while certainly there are more people getting involved, the potential conflicts that might occur certainly above zero, but they're not something that is going to happen relatively frequently.
Putin is testing the West in Ukraine, testing the West in the Crimea. I'm just wondering, is there the possibility of at least a challenge over Syria of competing airspace?
Well, John, I tell you that the Russians are acting in accordance with their own national security interests. That should not be a surprise to anybody. And what they're doing in Syria, quite frankly, is they're taking advantage of a less than robust U.S. military effort regarding the Islamic State to dramatically increase their presence in the Middle East. What's happened here, John, is a U.S. anemic military action against the Islamic State is what's allowed Russia to dramatically up their game in the Middle East, reversing their general practice of the last 30 years or so. And they've moved advanced surface-to-air missile systems to cover their positions in Syria. Now, the Islamic State has no air power, so this move's aimed at complicating U.S. air operations. And frankly, the Russian intervention throws the entire regional chessboard upside down. They've been coordinating with Iran, Iraq, Syria, and even the Israeli Defense Force. Plus, it diverts attention from Ukraine. So it basically shows the Russians can walk and chew gum as well as play chess.
I mean, this is beginning to look a little bit like Sarajevo 1914. I mean, something could happen because all of these players are involved that could drag all of them into some much more serious confrontation, nation to nation, over this frontier in Syria. And now with Turkey, you know, moving because of this bombing, this seems to be a prescription for a lot of jokers in the deck. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. No, and by the way, I didn't say there's no chance. There is a chance of, you know, an incident that is something that someone doesn't anticipate because there are so many multiple actors playing in the area. And, you know, look, we ought to take a look at deconfliction measures. And there's a number of options that can be put in place, either with or without Russian cooperation. You know, and complicating this whole issue, though, is whatever deconfliction option is selected, is that the choice can have significant foreign policy implications. Now, there are lots of different alternatives that can be put in place based on geography, airspace, distance between aircraft, altitude. Now, I'd also tell you, and your audience needs to understand that, you know, U.S. aircraft flying in Syria have the benefit of great situational awareness. So, you know, they're not going to accidentally run into somebody. And given the fact that the very few sorties that were flying over Syria on a daily basis, this is more of a political issue than it is a military deconfliction challenge.
How would you describe this in general? Is this a hot peace with Russia, a mini Cold War with Russia, or is this simply Vladimir Putin with a free hand in the Middle East all of a sudden, and the U.S. is waiting for some disastrous scenario that will change the game for the U.S.?
The Russians are acting in accordance with their own national security interests here. Russia took advantage of the vacuum in leadership that the United States created in Syria. You know, the issue at hand is, what is the United States leadership going to do to reestablish a coherent, not reestablish, how about establish in the first place a coherent strategy that is responsive to U.S. national security needs?
David Aptula is a retired U.S. Air Force general who helped plan the air attacks that won the first Gulf War in 1991. Thanks so much, David.
You bet, John. Take care.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.